day, radio listeners. It's time for Pure Sex Radio. This is the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles and learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction. And get serious about purity. Your hosts are Jonathan Daugherty, director of Be Broken Ministries, and Steven Cervantes, founder of Hope Counseling Center. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Steven on Pure Sex Radio.
Hello and welcome to this week's broadcast of the Pure Sex Radio program. We are glad to have you with us. My name is Jonathan Daugherty. I've got Steven Cervantes as my co-host here. How you doing, Steve?
Doing good. Thank you.
We are going to get real personal with you today. We want to talk to you about our stories. I think it's only fair that you understand kind of what we've gone through, the journeys that we have taken, so that you can identify with us and maybe feel like you have some kind of connection with us as we bring these broadcasts to you each week. So I'm going to open the mic up to Steven and just let him share with us a little bit about what's brought him to this point.
What's brought me to this point? I think I'd have to say I've been a sexually frustrated male for a long time. And then you should say, ask a question.
Well, that's a tough one to follow up on. I think, should I just say amen?
Well, and I'm going to explain that. And I'm not sure it's always understood the way I originally said it. Because I've been frustrated with the way men in the church have discussed and been honest or not been honest about their own sexual struggles. It just seems like a really long time. The men have been in charge of the church, and there's been very little information about managing male sexuality. And I never understood why there wasn't more honesty, more insight, more depth, more training, more teaching. If you think about it, we all know ministers and elders and deacons. You know, even more recently, there's been struggles about priests having problems. And nobody seems to talk about sexuality very much or in depth or provide training in terms of the religious community. And as one speaker said, if we don't talk about it in the religious community, we're the only ones not talking about it. So I started talking about being sexually frustrated, and I think that's where some of my work in this area comes from. Part of my frustration is that there's so little going on in the churches that that I thought it was time to do something. So my ministry is really a sexual purity ministry where I call men to step up in the area of sexual purity. Now, it's interesting because, you know, I hear sexual addiction and I see that as one end of the scale, the spectrum, if this is a long line. And at the opposite end is sexual purity. And I'll just give you a little hint here. A lot of females can easily intimidate me. Now, I've never heard somebody with a sexual addiction say that. It's usually the other way around. And I'm not sure I'm drawing this distinction for any real clear purpose, except to say that I think people's personalities are different, and your focus in your ministry has been a little bit different than mine, although they are on the same continuum and they blend well together. But having little direction as a male and little training in terms of sexuality, you're left to try and figure it out on your own. And I do remember campouts where the older guys were talking about sexual stuff that I'd never heard of, and I thought, wow, I really want to listen to this. And actually, I think they were talking about masturbation. I was like, what? Tell me all about this. What are you guys talking about? I was reading this book, and this author was talking about the first time he looked at a naked woman. He was 12 years old, and he said, wow, it was like there's this big secret in the world that everybody knew, and then one day I discovered it, you know, and it was porn, and it just grabbed me. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. I just laughed at that. I thought that was really intriguing, because I think that's what happens in the beginning to most of us, is that some sexual material gets put in our lap, and it just creates such a wow response, if you will. I have to tell the story. I tell it sometimes when I'm speaking, that I was about 13 years old, 12 or 13, and little Jimmy from down the street came over to my house and said, come over here, I want to show you something. And, you know, I had a front porch swing, but he said, no, let's not sit on the swing, let's sit on the curb, you know, the outer rims of the property. And he unraveled this thing he'd wadded up in his pocket, and it was a picture of a bare-breasted female. It was a black and white picture all crumpled up, and it was like, wow, Jimmy, where did you get this? And he said, I found it on the street. Well, that was the summer I rode my bike staring at the pavement, looking for any kind of black and white piece of paper, going, is this it? Did I find it? Did I find what Jimmy found? And so, I mean, I tell stories like that to say that's where a lot of my sexual education came from. Guys here, a guy there, reading something, bathroom walls, magazines that other people passed along to me. But always being frustrated because the men of the church never talked about their sexual struggles, and always feeling a little bit like a freak because I had this inner tension of wanting to do the right thing, but always knowing that there was arousal and pleasure just around the corner, you know, just in the next magazine or the next opportunity or billboard. There was always some opportunity that would provide some pleasure, some relief. And also, I feel like I was kind of a slow starter, a little less mature growing up. And what could make you powerful and big and mature, you know, porn and sexuality and sexual fantasy, that, you know, if you're not the kid picked for the team, you can be a superhero and a sexual fantasy of your own making. Or if you don't have a lot of friends, or if you're not the prettiest, most talented, most educated, sexual fantasy will deliver whatever you need to fill in the gap so you can be a superhero. Jonathan, you're over there all quiet.
Well, I was going to ask, was there any, I mean, in your childhood especially, were there any adults telling you anything that was true about sexuality? Or was mainly all the information you were getting either from peers or, like you said, bathroom walls, pornography,
sure,
things like that?
Yeah, no, there were no really significant males that sat me down and said, you know, this is going to be a struggle, and it's manageable, and sometimes you'll fail, but it's what we all have to do to get through this. Perfection cannot be attained, and so get over that idea. Do the very best you can, you know, and remember grace abounds. No, nobody was talking to me about stuff like that. And so I stayed kind of isolated and confused. And I remember, you know, high school guys, and you know what testosterone running wild is like. And
sure,
I wrote a few notes down, and I realize now how little males understand females in their adolescence, because you would just like to use them for your own personal pleasure. Forget that they have a personality, or there's somebody's daughter, or they have likes and dislikes. It's just, you just like to take advantage of beauty. And I'm talking in general, and I'm talking in personal. I'm kind of weaving these thoughts together. But the whole idea that guys don't understand, and porn and misdirected sexuality says, go ahead and use those females, use the other females, they're there, they'll like it, it's okay, they're for your pleasure. That always set wrong with me. That always made me cringe. You know, I hear guys tell stories about, you know, wanting to take advantage of someone, and I always wondered about the person themselves. And so there was always this dilemma, and that's why I say, you know, I have a little bit of fear of women. I don't, and it may be actually respect of females. And yet, you know, in the church we're called to do the right thing. As adolescent males, we're involved in crazy thinking, and it set up a dilemma that sent me on a journey to try to get some answers to how do you manage this internal battle that's a secret at church but freely talked about on the street and quietly promoted, you know, in different places. You know, it's not always in your face, especially in years gone by. More recently, it's in your face.
And so then how did this journey you're talking about get started? I mean, what was kind of the catalyst for saying, you know, I want to focus on not only personally, but I want to focus on this in my counseling? You know, what was kind of the turning point to where you started taking a concerted interest?
Yeah,
in that?
I'm glad you asked that, because I've been working on this for about 8 years. And as a professional counselor, people would come in and say, you know, I've got this sexual struggle and it's out of hand. And I didn't have a lot of training in sexual issues. It just wasn't out there. Nobody had much training in it until Patrick Carn started to really study the field. But I started working with men and working in groups, and just was intrigued, because the guys that had really gotten in sexual trouble could teach the guys that were like juniors. You know, the seniors could teach the juniors, if you would. We all needed to back up and get smarter, and those guys were willing to do that. And it just began a personal interest to try to delve into the struggle of male sexuality and make sense out of it and figure out what pieces could be managed and what pieces were confusing, and how did we lie to ourselves. It's interesting, because I'll jump here. I heard the story of a guy that had been in prison. I'm just throw out some generic numbers here because I don't want to tell anybody's personal story, but say he'd been in prison for 20 years for drinking. He got out, and he was out for 4 months, and then he decided that he could take a drink, and he ended up back in jail now for 10 more years. And I got to thinking to myself, how could that happen? You spend 20 years in jail, you get out for 4 months, and then you lie to yourself and say, well, I can just have one. I'm an alcoholic, but I can just have one drink. You know, the truth is, he believed his own lies, and they took him down the path where he had to pay a terrible price. And I think in the world of addiction, you believe your own lies, and then you get caught in your own lies. And in sexual purity work, we have to identify the lies and the deception and the distortions and call them for what they are, so that we don't con ourselves into doing stupid things under the name of good or pleasure or limited use. So I don't know. Did I answer your question? And
yeah,
you have another one? Or?
Yeah. And then, so what have you been doing then? I mean, how has that kind of evolved over the last 8 years in terms of you being able to take what you've been learning personally as well as professionally, and then implementing it into ministry, even resources, different things like that? How has it kind of evolved?
Okay, I'm glad you asked that, because, you know, I think I've gotten to the point where I can't walk around in ignorance anymore and watch my brothers walk around in ignorance anymore. I believe that there's a rising group of men, yourself included, that are you know, camped out to call other men back to sexual sanity. So no more ignorance, no more shame. We can't do that anymore. And I'm not sure. I know that in the churches, it's still very difficult to discuss this topic, because the men don't want to admit that they've all failed. And if you talk about male sexuality, the first thing you have to do is admit that you failed to manage it perfectly. And then the women don't want to know that the men have struggled. And so the men don't want to say it, and the women don't want to hear it, so nobody wants to talk about it. Well, I was reading my Bible one day, and it was down by the riverbank in kind of a quiet sort of place. And I'd been reading about offerings that in the Old Testament that they'd made. And when David passed away, they offered 1,000 bulls and 1,000 rams. And this number, this idea of offerings and 1,000 really kind of spoke to me. Then I read on, and it said when Solomon was, anointed the new leader, they offered 1,000 bulls for him. And I thought, wow, a big God, a big offering, a big statement, a big mission, a big desire. And the thought occurred to me, why don't you offer God 1,000 days of sexual purity? 1,000 days where you manage your head and do not allow any impure thoughts to stay. And so I went on a journey to do that. If you do it straight, it takes 2 years and 9 months. I'm not sure I know anybody that could do it straight. I wasn't able to do it straight. And, you know, I slipped up some days. I couldn't, you know, I let my mind wander and ramble and didn't, you know, check my thoughts and hold a purity.
But what happens then if you have a day where you slip up? I mean, do you start over? How do you get these 1,000 days together?
Oh, good. I'm glad you asked, because...
Because a lot of guys, you know, come from addiction recovery communities that say, listen, you mess up, you're back to square one, you start over, and good luck. You know?
Right, yes. And that's brutal, because you keep starting and stopping.
Well, it's discouraging.
Starting and
it's
stopping.
Very discouraging.
That's right. But under the new model, grace abounds, and forgiveness has already been provided. And so what you do is you just don't count the day. If you decide that you don't want to check your head and stop the fantasy, the lusting, the looking, the drool, if you don't want to stop any of your inappropriate sexual behavior, then you just can't count that day as a day of offering. Any day that you decide to bridle your thoughts. Now, thoughts happen in your head, but as soon as you know what you're doing, if you say, okay, I want to count this day as a day of purity, and put that thought away, then you count that day. But if you say, I know what I'm doing, and I don't really care, and I'm having a good time, and nobody's telling me no, and I'm not telling me no, and I'll think about, look at, you know, entertain any ideas I want to do to pleasure myself, any kind of stimulation is just fine with me. If you don't check that anywhere, then you can't count that day.
And so could you kind of liken it to maybe like climbing a mountain? And, you know, you get 100 yards up the face of the mountain and you don't, then you have a day where you can't count it. In other words, you slip 10 feet.
Slip back down 10 feet or something.
But you don't go back to the base of the mountain.
That's right.
To start over. Everything to that point still counts, so to speak, in terms of your offering and what you were able to get.
And it's absolutely an amazing journey to go on, because you have to look at yourself more honestly. You have to think about your thoughts in ways you've never thought about your thoughts. If that makes sense.
I got you.
Good. But and how long and how frequently do you look, and when you're there, how long do you stay, and what lies could you tell yourself, and how do you maneuver yourself for a second look, and just on and on, these little things you're doing that you haven't been paying attention to and been growing year after year. You have to kind of to sort through all that mess and get some more sanity back up there and hold purity. And it's a difficult challenge. But one of the things I've learned is that men love a difficult challenge. Now, let me say to you, I have originally thought guys would jump on board the 1,000-day journey. I've since learned that very few, maybe 1% of the people listening, will jump on board. They're so ready. And that's why we have the 40-day purity challenge. And so I hope you'll talk about that at some point when we wrap up. But for the guys that really want to reach high, the guys that really want to do something powerful for a big God, a big offering for a big God, a big statement for a man that just has determined it's time to get out of the mess and clean some things up, the 1,000-day challenge exists.
And now you had you actually had some writing that came out of this. Why don't you share a little bit about the resource that actually has come out of this that we now carry at Be Broken Ministries for folks who may be more interested in the 1,000-day challenge?
Well, I was going to put that back on you. I was going to say that I did put some notes together, and I think I wrote up the first 500-day journal, right?
There's a 500-day.
I never finished that journal to the full 1,000-day journal, but
yeah, we'll have another volume come out here eventually, another edition.
But I do have some notes put together, and would like to make that available if anyone has interest in reading that and seeing what that's about. So
yeah,
you want to promo it?
Yeah, because you, I believe it was last year you completed that. The 1,000 Days of Offering is the title for the for that little workbook, and it just it basically explains the process of this big offering for those of you who are really ready to take that level of a challenge. And it also has, like Steve said, it has some of his journal entries in there, which are very insightful because, like Steve said, it is a different type of a journey in the sense where you're paying attention to things over an extended period of time that maybe you've never paid attention to before. And so it really challenges you to a new level of self-examination. And this workbook or this resource really just kind of helps to share some of the insights along the way, some of the things that can help you in your own journey. It also shows you how you can kind of keep track of your 1,000 days in order to have somewhat of a system for doing that. But you can receive that from us by calling our toll-free number or by visiting our website, and we'll give you that information at the close of the broadcast. Steve, anything else you want to share about your story or just about your...
Well, I think that I would like to challenge the men that are listening, and the women too. No telling who's out there, but that God loves offerings. Not so much as the days of old where it was rams and bulls and sheep, but he likes heart offerings. And so maybe you could do, I know, Jonathan, you've challenged men to a 7-day offering. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you could try a 40-day offering. Or if you're ready and you've been threshing around, just waiting for the call to come in to take the supersize meal. That's the 1,000-day offering. It's about us being followers of a mighty God, a big God, and living our lives in a submitted sort of way to him. And I think the offerings that we make, whether it's a prayer request, a song, or a purity offering, I think it just goes up into the heavens as a fragrant aroma that fills the very chambers where God abides, where his people send up offerings, not about doing for me my way what I want and nobody's going to tell me no, but rather hearts and minds that are submitted that say, your way is the best way, Father. We're following you.
Fantastic. I'm really looking forward to seeing what kind of response we get to this broadcast. And hopefully we'll get a good number of guys who say, listen, I'm ready to bite off a big challenge and take the supersize challenge. So I'm looking forward to that.
Today's Purity Pointer, making a point that makes a difference. Brought to you by Pure Sex Radio.
Purity is often a battle for your mind. You ever feel that your mind has a mind of its own? It's as though the mind doesn't cooperate with you at times. Does it bring up memories you don't want to remember? Does it serve up thoughts you're trying to avoid? See, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17 that the heart is deceptively wicked. We got to recognize that purity is both an internal battle and an external battle. Sometimes our biology works against us. Sometimes our emotions, our mind, and our heart work against us. Sometimes the culture works against us. Ask God for help today. Today, begin the practice of taking every thought captive. And win the battle for your mind.
Purity Pointer is a service of Pure Sex Radio. Listen to previous Purity Pointers at www.puresexradio.com.
Well, we wanted to mention the 1,000 Days of Offering workbook that we had mentioned earlier in the broadcast. I wanted to just get some information to you about that and how you can get your hands on a copy. This workbook, really what it is it's the story of Stephen Cervantes, his personal journey to offer God 1,000 days of sexual thought purity. And in this workbook, it contains the vision for purity that a lot of other men have also embraced, as well as Stephen's personal journal entries along the way, at least for the first 500 days in this particular workbook. It is a great inspirational book, and it's really going to motivate you to a new level of personal purity. It also contains in there some explanation and even a worksheet on how you can keep track of your days of offering, and an in-depth explanation of how this offering works. And so if you're really wanting to take your personal purity to another level, this is a great resource to help you do that. And just the inspiration that you'll gain from Stephen's notes in there is just incredibly valuable. We want to give this resource to anyone who contacts our ministry today with a donation of any amount. Any amount of donation, whatever you feel like you want to give, we will give this workbook or this little book to you. So hold on to get the contact information, and we would love to hear from you, and we really want to get this workbook into your hands for a donation of any amount today.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial contributions of listeners like you. Please send your notes and donations to Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. Again, the mailing address is 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. You may also reach us by phone toll-free at 1-800-49-PURITY. Our toll-free number again is 1-800-497-8748. Our website is a great resource for archived broadcasts, helpful resources, and secure donations. Simply visit www.puresexradio.com for more information. That wraps up our time together on this week's Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We look forward to having you back next time when we again tackle real-life struggles with lust, porn, and sex addiction. Until then, remember, the price you pay today for purity is a bargain compared to the pain it costs if you put it off.